Hey,
let's
go. Ooh, Cooligans After Dark.
Bro, we are in Miami. After experiencing the Norwegian fans on Miami Beach.
Yeah, man.
And we just obviously watched Argentina win against Switzerland, which is not too much of a surprise to a lot of people.
It was a tighter game than I thought. Yeah. That final result does not tell you the story of this game, but the internet's going to be saying that Messi's gifted another game.
We'll get to all the controversy because it feels like there was a lot today in both games. But welcome to the Cooligans. We are reacting to all these quarterfinal matches for today. Well, we're going to start with Argentina, Switzerland. We'll talk Norway against England. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Shout out to everybody watching, whether you're watching on YouTube, whether you're watching on Yahoo Sports Network or across all the Yahoo social channels. If you'd like to leave some comments, you can go to the Cooligans YouTube, and we will be reacting to some of those. So head over there, youtube.com/soccercooligans.
Yeah, in fact, if you're hanging out with us on YouTube, put in the comments, what are you watching on? Are you watching on your phone, on your tablet, on your TV? Mm-hmm. Are you in the bathroom with the door closed because you don't want your family to wake up because it's late, but you still need to see us? I get it.
A lot of ways to consume the Cooligans.
Oh, hell yeah. You just keep flushing every few minutes, and your significant other's in bed like, I'm worried about Steve.
So let's start with Argentina Switzerland. A game where obviously the favorites are Argentina, but man, for Switzerland to equalize, it really did feel like they could win this game. I mean, in regulation, especially in the first half, they had more possession. They were kind of, controlling the game, man, and more in control of their own destiny than I thought they would be. And then a second yellow card that changes everything.
Yeah, I mean, there was a mention of some of the former Switzerland players that were like stalwarts on the national team.
Yeah.
Shaqiri, Jan Sommer. There was another player that I can't recall right now. But thinking about, wow, that is right. We've gotten away from what the core that got them to the World Cup year, a cycle in, cycle out, mm-hmm. and this sort of rebuild that they built. It feels like Switzerland have put themselves in a good place moving forward. I know you don't like when I say this, but I think they're going to walk out of this match with their heads held high. I think they had a great showing at the World Cup. They got this far. But what they're going to regret is those opportunities that they had to possibly equalize or even go ahead in this game. And then, of course, the hell was Mbolo thinking, bro?
Mbolo, how Yo. Could you do this? I mean, he was in tears, devastated. After
he
being
did
sent
it to
off,
himself, though. It was still a harsh call from the ref.
It's so obviously, this is the same thing, the mistaken identity VAR intervention. This happened in the U.S.-Paraguay game where Miguel Almirón dives after a foul. Tim Ream is given a yellow card. VAR looks at it and says, hey, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. It is mistaken identity. You gave the yellow to the wrong person because there was no foul that actually took place.
It's basically a way to recover from giving a foul to someone who a simulation was
right. You
was
don't.
Done.
You're trying to remove diving from the game, and in most instances, for our experience with this sport for all of our lives, you could dive, and there's not really much of a huge penalty unless like you're intentionally diving in the box to try to draw a penalty. The refs in that instance will be like, hey, we're gonna give you the yellow because this is like not to the spirit of the game.
Right.
You shouldn't be diving like this.
Like Miami would say, eso no es católico. Which is like, or also you might have heard like, that ain't kosher. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Meaning like, I'm not sure about this.
So the reason it's so harsh is because now if you dive, even if you're in the middle of the pitch,
if you're like almost overly gaining an advantage, it's got to be a wild one for them to bring this rule in.
Paredes is given a yellow card for a foul that he did not commit, so VAR got involved.
We're seeing the tweet of it here,
and this is in his own half. So this is why it seems so cruel. But he got the early yellow, which I don't. His first yellow wasn't a yellow, and he was hard done by that first one, but You can't. I mean, they know. It's
a good, but here's the thing. Remember when referees were like, hey, man, I gave you a yellow there and maybe I shouldn't have, or it was a little bit harsh. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I got you on the next one. Don't worry about it. You know, remember that? They would like sort of equalize it or level it out. Mm-hmm. Them days are gone, man. No, 4K, 4K says you got to go.
The cameras are all around. You can't. That's it. I mean, you can't. I don't know if they're going to continue with this rule after the World Cup.
I like the idea of the rule, the way it's been. And you know what? Put in the comments. How do you feel about this? Because in our group chat, our producers were having a bit of an argument as to whether should you consider the game, the state of the game, the level of competition, the where the foul is happening, yeah, yeah, as far as like the level of, like the world that we're living in right now. Like it's a World Cup and this is against Argentina. Do you consider those things? Should the referee consider those things when deciding to give that second yellow?
Right. Okay.
We have a poll. So go ahead and
YouTube,
get in there.
Yeah. If you want to get involved in that, we'd love to hear what you think. We'll show it in a few minutes.
But don't just answer it. Also, drop a comment to give an explanation.
Yeah.
So, because I don't know how I feel. How do you feel about that? Do you think the ref should have like an emotional sense, a spirit of the game?
So I go back to the yellow card that Miguel Almirón was given. So he was given the yellow card for the simulation, mm-hmm, right? Which he was the first for that. He was given the red card for covering his mouth when speaking,
yeah,
in a confrontational manner. So in both instances, the players are hyperly made aware that these are new rules that are going to be instituted right, at the World Cup. So because they're trying to eliminate diving and they're trying to eliminate players saying racist things to each other. Mm-hmm. And this is what they've chosen to do. So it sucks for Mbola because he had the yellow and it's hard to remove the instinct to play how you've always played. Right. You think you're about to receive contact. You're going to go down. I mean, but it's like the move
in slow-mo. It just looks so silly.
It's silly, but this is why
it just seems.
This
so...
is why I don't have too many problems with it because Paredes is given the yellow card and he did not deserve it. So that
I'm not too upset about. The idea that it has to then now shift to someone else. Just because a yellow card was issued doesn't mean that the other side of that offense is also yellow cardable.
But it is because
is that
it,
a word? Did I just create a word?
Because it's a mistaken identity, similar to if you got a red card.
they're not equal offenses. Pretending to be hurt versus actually kicking somebody are two different things. It doesn't mean the both sides of that don't necessarily right. mean it's a just because it's but, yellow on one side, it's yellow on the other. But I understand the yellow's been issued.
You deceived the referee
right,
by giving the other guy got the yellow card and he didn't deserve the foul.
It is up to the ref's discretion, which is why we're having the argument.
Yeah,
you don't have to issue the yellow card.
I don't know about that.
They said it on what's his name? Who's the ref? Howard Webb? Who's the guy?
Clattenburg.
Mark Clattenburg clarified that it is up to the ref's discretion.
So Mbolo, this is from Christina Uncle. She says, Mbolo decision is consistent with Almirón decision. Like I said, FIFA is treating these situations as mistaken identity, but it's really quote unquote simulation. VAR can recommend. The controversial part is VAR is not just changing the player, but it's changing the offense. We are in a re-refereeing zone. So
the last two sentences, I think, also make it seem as though you don't have to say, well, a yellow card has been issued. It's either to you or to you. Just because the simulation's there, you can count that as like, hey, that's your third foul. Maybe that's a little light. Maybe you would even question that.
Right, right.
But it still feels like in a game like this, when you're the underdog, it just seems you feel hard done by something like this, even though Mbolo shouldn't have simulated.
He shouldn't have simulated.
Thank you for coughing in the other direction. It's very sweet.
He shouldn't have simulated. But again, the issue is.
I wish I could do this with my girl. She have a fake. You know what I mean? Just go back to VAR.
Makes what? What are you talking?
You know what I'm talking about. Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Pointless.
This guy knows what I'm talking about. Isn't that crazy how far my hand goes?
Anyway,
you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know, but what's the point?
Like, whoa. We're gonna
crowbarring this.
We're gonna re-listen to that.
Anyway, but Paredes doesn't deserve the yellow. I understand, like the concept, because it's treated as mistaken identity, somebody has to get a yellow.
No, it's not, but that's the part. That's the part that I don't agree with. It doesn't mean somebody, just because a yellow card has been issued, doesn't mean somebody has to get that. You could rescind, just like you could rescind a red card. I mean, you could rescind it.
You need Trump for that. I don't know.
Damn.
It's not fair. It's not fair. It is just harsh.
That's what it feels. It feels harsh.
It is just harsh. But
I don't feel one way or another. I don't feel like they should have rescinded it.
I kind of agree with Christina Uncle there, because yes, if you are, but the mistaken identity aspect is not the right rule or not the right punishment, right? Because it isn't you're not mistaking the identity. You didn't give the yellow card to the wrong Argentinian player. It is now simulation. You're getting yellow for simulation.
Well, what are they going to call it? You were wrong? I mean, you know what I mean? They're trying to protect the ref by calling it mistaken identity.
But by wording it like that, you are giving the yellow for a different offense. Mbolo did not get a yellow for mistaken identity. He got a yellow for simulation, but that is not what is the process instituted.
Yeah, but I want to live in a world where the idea of mistaken identity is simply you assumed what happened out there was a foul by this player, but you were mistaken. The identity of the person who committed a foul was that one. That doesn't mean it's an equal offense foul. It simply means a foul was committed by somebody else. You mistaken the identity of the person who's receiving a foul.
Right, but it's not a foul, right? Simulation is not a foul. They wouldn't describe it as a foul. They would describe it as simulation. So it's like it's
the simulation.
An offense.
Offense, sure.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. It's not necessarily you were mistaken as to who you gave the card to. It was you whistled the wrong person.
Okay, so Tom Boger, this is his opinion. He says, So VAR steps in to give Mbolo a second yellow because the referee made the wrong decision in the first place to book Paredes. If it was just a foul, not a yellow, it's not reviewable. Pure insanity. Game's gone. Less VAR, man, for the love of God. I think we're all kind of in the same realm before we started recording. I said, I'm like, if the ref doesn't give the yellow to Paredes, which then it's not reviewable. And this is where I can see the debate of like, do we need more VAR? Like, this is not necessarily a
I think this is a bad take from Tom Boger, because less VAR means Paredes keeps a yellow that he didn't deserve.
Yeah, but you still have 11v11.
Yeah, but not maybe Paredes, one of the other fouls that Paredes commits at the end of the game becomes a second yellow, and then Argentina lose because of that. You don't know which way the game is going to go.
But what makes the product more entertaining? Sending off that player or Paredes having that yellow?
I don't know that advocating for keeping a mistake that was made means it's more entertaining. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather get it right.
But you're saying that the call was harsh on Mbolo.
Yeah, but it's up to the ref's discretion as to whether that's a yellow, reaches the level of a yellow.
A precedent has already been set. Almirón dove
right
and got the yellow that Tim Rima had originally got. So what are you arguing for? Less VAR or more VAR?
No, I'm arguing for, first of all, I don't feel one way or the other. But what I'm arguing in this situation is that it's up to the ref's discretion. It's not just because Almirón dove and got a yellow that every time somebody dives or flops or simulates a foul, it's immediately a yellow. There's levels to it.
Okay. But what I'm saying is that the process that the referees have in place is the mistaken identity process, which is we already have that with red cards. So when somebody gets a red and it's the wrong person that got it, they give it to somebody.
And this is stupid.
There's no scenario on the other side of the offense. The rules do not allow for nobody to get
this
yellow.
The rules are made up. This is ridiculous as they
currently are, because they're operating on the mistaken identity policy. This is what is the outcome. You can either change the rule in some way. You want some discretion over if that yellow should be given when they're operating under this mistaken identity policy, or remove it altogether. Don't allow VAR to get involved in yellow cards.
I kind of get a little bit annoyed when someone goes like, all right, we attempted to do something. It didn't work. We're never going to do it again. Maybe it just needs a slight change.
I don't know.
The idea that, hey, if a yellow is handed, if it's not to him, it's going to be to you. One of you gets this yellow. That to me is so dumb. I can understand some situations that calls for that because the other side of the offense reaches the level of a yellow as well, or a red, or whatever the situation was. It doesn't mean every time it's going to do that. And just because it happened without Amidon doesn't mean it happens across the board. Well, it should be up to the ref's discretion, I think maybe that's what Christina Uncle was referencing by re-refereeing. Is if we call you to the screen, if VAR calls you to the screen to recheck it, it automatically means someone has to now receive that yellow. So what VAR is suggesting that you gave the yellow to the wrong person, as opposed to, hey, look at what happened and decide from there. To me, it's kind of dumb. We're going back and forth, but I'd love to hear what the comments think.
I think you know, there's been a lot of people advocating for VAR to get involved in second yellows. And I think this is a perfect example of why VAR should not be involved in yellow cards at all. This is because it leads to these debates and a lot more discretion. And yeah, it sucks.
Just let VAR ref the whole game.
Mbolo gets involved. He's the first to get sent off for, you know, with this rule in place. And it sucks. But this is an example of why we do not need VAR involved in yellow cards. Let the ref in the center of the field. It would have been a yellow to Paredes. Not fair. But both teams still have 11 aside.
So then I get it. I get what you're saying.
And that happens all the time.
I get the spirit of the game.
People get yellows that they shouldn't get yellows.
But the purpose of VAR is to not allow a mistake to live. All right. David from Tampa Bay said, I've always hated when commentators say you can't give a red that early in the game or something along those lines. The players know the rules. It's not like FIFA made the changes this morning on a whim. True. I mean, it's a good point, you know?
Yeah. Ricky says, we see this all the time at club level. Winners get the benefit of the doubt. Messi and Argentina are champs, so it means refs will always bend towards them the same way they do for Real Madrid or Barca. All right. I mean, this is...
Alexis is right. It doesn't mean both acts are worthy of a yellow. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Not when I said it. Riverside Grove.
I agree with that. No, that both sides don't mean a yellow. I'm just saying that there is no policy in place to not give somebody a yellow.
Major Money bringing reality into this when this sucks. This is true. Jokes aside, I hope Mbola's socials are off. Things will unfortunately get racist as often happens with BIPOC folks on European squads. That's 100% true. And it sucks. It sucks that that's probably something that's going to happen.
I hope it
doesn't
happen. It should not happen at all, man.
Okay, Spider Slaton agrees with you.
I agree with Christian on the call. He should know his cousin, Ivan Barton, is a ref at this World Cup. That's the ref that everybody hates.
Yeah.
The CONCACAF guy. He's rough. Yeah, man, it's brutal. It sucks. And
Here we go. Major Money says, why does Julian Alvarez want to leave Atletico this summer? Is he not the man there after Griezmann left? Anyway, his price just went up.
That was a
screamer. He's hit that goal before. I mean, that's a Julian Alvarez immediate. It's a Julian Alvarez 101 goal.
Yeah.
And once again, Arsenal. Would love to see him in an Arsenal shirt.
So, I mean, look, for us, as far as player of the game, we are going to go with Julian Alvarez. I mean, he was, the game-winning goal, they ended up winning 3-1, but his second goal was the difference. I look at the XG point one. I mean, this is a player who I expected a ton more at this World Cup, and he just hasn't, you know, he just haven't found those opportunities. Messi's getting all the goals. He should have been doing this, you know, a few games ago.
Yeah, there was like periods in the game where there was like a little bit of a negative body language towards Julian Alvarez's movements, some of the decisions he was making, some of the long shots he was taking, even though we heard, you know, a lot of the players and the commentators talking about how later in the game you start to sort of get a little bit tired. So, you know, you think the goalkeeper may lose a little bit of focus. So taking a shot from far away actually makes sense. But Julian Alvarez is skying a few shots. So there was the moment where he has that space. I'm wondering why Switzerland isn't closing in on him. And then I'm thinking, you know, he's kind of missed a bunch. And then he does not miss that shot.
And they're also down a player.
But that's also like where that moment where like you see the switch, right? And it reminds me of the conversation we had with Troy, which is like, dude, you've been absolute terrible for the 89 minutes, but you score the game winner in the 90th. You're a striker. Did you have a great game? And he's like, yeah, you scored the winner. That's it. You scored the winner. That's it. You did what you literally did. That's why you're out there.
Yeah, and it also, I think when it comes to Messi, I mean, this is one of the first games where everybody else steps up. Like Messi, I thought Switzerland did really well defending against Messi. They crowded him. Didn't have a lot of space to even make really good passes.
They also would send a second person to where they knew he wanted to go. Like he wants to run along the top of that box and get it on his left foot. There was somebody waiting there, wouldn't let him. So I was really impressed. I was really impressed with the job Switzerland did. And I wonder what happens if Mbolo doesn't get that second yellow, you know?
Yeah.
Part of me always really, truly believes Switzerland wins this game.
Yeah, they really looked strong. I mean, this is it's sort of concerning with Argentina, given that they've had, you know, on paper, an easier path to the final. And they seem to struggle to close games out, and they're not really doing what we expected them. Everybody's like, you know, you see who France has to play, you see who England are having to play and all this other stuff. And I don't know if Argentina are going to be ready for like a really, really strong team on paper. Teams with like just a lot of quality.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like, you know, whatever the high percentage probability is that they will be facing France in the final.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get through
England.
Yeah. They have to get through England, but that's the high probability, right?
Sure.
The high probability is that we're seeing another Argentina versus France final. I don't know that they'll be ready for France. I don't think they'll be ready.
No,
I can still see England capitulating, or you know, Jude Bellingham not being able to find magic once again. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening. I can see Argentina getting through, especially with the emotions around that game. Just you know, Google Margaret Thatcher and Argentina. but I can see Argentina getting through it. I do not see this Argentina getting through France.
No, not even close. No. I mean, it obviously Argentina finds a way all mm-hmm. the time. So you can't like count them out at all. But I wouldn't even say sloppiness. There's just a little bit of just
there's a lack of refinement.
Yeah, it's like the killer instinct's not there. There's also the fact that pretty much this entire team was the 2022. Team that won the World Cup. I mean, they are a little bit older. Mm-hmm. There's not they've I don't know if you can't really argue that much that they've lost like a huge step. But like again, I mean, we're looking at the knockout rounds: Cape Verde, Egypt, Switzerland. Like anybody would be loving these matchups, and you would think out of one of these, they'd be like a little bit of a blowout or just a kind of you know, really showing that we are a much better team. And these teams have given them a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And again, you know, they've let these teams stay in the game, which is, you know, part of the other issue. All right. Why don't we do a little bit of stock up in this game? What are you going stock up? Tough. It's tough to say. Is it maybe Julian Alvarez? Is that?
Yeah, I guess Julian Alvarez definitely stock up. I mean, I also think, I thought Granit Xhaka had a great
game. Granit Xhaka was incredible, but this is probably his last World Cup.
Yeah, I thought, but Alvarez himself.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of Granit Xhaka, I think of someone who is a leader, and he's proven it with the invincibility. I'm sorry, with the invincible Bayer Leverkusen. And I think this showed that he is on that level. Also, the way he sort of took a lot of the players in his arms. It sounded way sexier than the way I wanted to say it. During the second yellow situation, and just like stopped some from arguing a little too much, but also embraced a few and gave them a moment. I thought that was incredible, and it goes to show the growth that Granit Xhaka has had since you know flipping off the Arsenal fans.
Right? Yeah, because there were so many moments, especially you know, even after the red card that. Switzerland were still giving Argentina trouble. They still had a possession, you know, in the final third, mm-hmm. and we're trying. And you could clearly see those moments of like Xhaka being like, "Yo, give me the ball!" Like,
How about that? The free kick he takes.
Yeah,
that was. I'm talking maybe an inch away from being a goal for Switzerland.
I mean, just like you know, if you've played soccer, you have. I've never been this person, but when you have that person, like, yo, I could get them the ball and we're safe. We're like, at least they'll know what to do. that Granit Xhaka was exactly that. Yeah. So, I mean, at the towards the end, like once they give the second goal, they have to take more chances and risks. And,
yeah, and at that point, you're throwing caution to the
wind. If it takes that wonder goal from Julian Alvarez, but yeah. really they're pushing to take this game to penalties, and they just could not get it over the line. But I thought Granit Xhaka was if he's not on the pitch, I don't even think Switzerland have any real chance.
I completely agree with you. But Switzerland's done a good job developing a lot of youth players. But this is a player that you hope he can stick around for one more because he's so good. Stock down. What are we thinking? It's kind of tough. I've been thinking about this as you were speaking, and I'm finding it difficult to give someone a stock down for this game, because I really don't think there's anyone in Switzerland that deserves it.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think they showed a ton of heart. Maybe who was the player in front of Alexis McAllister that missed the ball? Like, Alexis McAllister should not be winning a goddamn aerial ball to score a header. Like, it's like whenever Dax McCarty would score on a header, and it's just like, the shortest guy? Is the shortest guy?
Or when Messi does it, you're like, was nobody looking at that guy?
Messi took the free kick.
When he jumps, he's your height when you're standing.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, it's hard to pick any Swiss player.
Let us know in the comments who you would give stock down to.
I thought they were all fantastic. I mean, the stock down on
VAR?
I think so.
I'll say my stock down is on the mistaken identity rule as it's being used.
Okay. Maybe there's has to be some stock down on the Argentinian back line.
Letting it get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
why are you making Messi run 120 minutes, dog?
Yeah, the game against Cape Verde, Egypt did not go to extra time, but the fact that Argentina are even in this position, is kind of crazy with the teams that they're facing. Yes, we know the teams are going to play defensive, but are you serious? Like, you can't figure you can't figure them out. Like, it's kind of crazy. And not even just like they're going to play defensive, but they're leading against you.
Yeah,
like in moments, like it's just insane. So they put Argentinian fans, you know, giving them more panic attacks than they want, for sure. So that'll be my stock down. All right. All right. We got any
comments.
Yeah. Let's take a look at what people are saying. We just got a blue screen.
Okay. You know what? Make up your own. Okay. This is a real choose your own adventure.
Oh, we got the poll.
Should Mbolo have been given a second yellow? 64% say yes.
Yeah.
36% say no. That is,
yeah, dude.
That is a lot more than I thought. Also, could just be a bunch of Argentinians in the chat.
Diving is diving, man. I mean,
I get it, but does that automatically equal a yellow?
My genuine opinion is that if you're diving to try to draw a penalty, to me, that's a yellow. You're diving to try to gain a free kick in the middle of the field. I don't see that as a yellow ever. And so that's my thought. But in general, let's not have VAR involved in yellows. We don't need more people looking at that. It slows the game down. Mm. It's pretty pointless. So I'm fine without it. So I'm not a huge fan of this rule. When I was watching U.S. Paraguay, I'm like, yeah, this rule is great.
We need more VAR and yellows.
But look, and I'm sure Argentinian fans are quite happy about it. But yeah, this is not overall. After seeing the effect of it, I don't think we need it. Okay,
right. The tweet of God said Messi almost unbeatable. Messi plus the refs, completely unbeatable.
Yeah, I mean, look, God said it. I mean, yeah, man.
I hate that that's the narrative, but it's not going to go away.
And Mbolo, when he saw Paredes coming to us, it was
it was really silly.
It was a silly dive, man. He didn't need to do it. And yeah, hopefully, he learns that.
Apparently, they can check for yellows, but not this.
Yeah, they can't. Well, yeah, there was no yellow issue. There was no foul issued, I think, in this one. It was kind of crazy.
Like, once again, I'm going to say VAR isn't the issue. It's the way it's being used and implemented.
Yeah, but again, this is...
The fix is in for Argentina. Look, I mean, this conversation is just not going to go away when things like this happen. What I mean?
It's a little bit of luck, but obviously... You can say the fix is in, but Mbolo doesn't need to dive. It's pointless. I'm sick of this Argentina team. I really wanted Norway and the Swiss win today. Yeah, man, it would have been.
We're the only ones because every executive, every TV exec, everyone.
Stock down Messi. He looked human. You know what? I kind of see that too, man.
Yeah, I can see that. It's weird to say that after they win. But...
You know, I think there's a little bit of exhaustion. And, you know, he's been playing these long-ass games. The Egypt game, he has to put in all this effort late in games. So I could see why.
And now it's like he's not going to get benched. He's not going to get a break.
And we were in Miami, so we were hosting the watch party for Norway, England. And I mean, there were a lot of Norway fans at the watch party. It was kind of sort of 50-50, but I was surprised. It's been cool being here in Miami, seeing how many Norwegian people are out here. They did the row on Miami Beach.
Yeah.
And that was awesome to see.
A lot of Norway fans, too. I think a lot of people tired of Egypt, of Argentina winning. Michael Raymond says the simulation was so obvious you can't ignore it. And I agree. It was so silly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish in hindsight, I'm like, I just wish the ref called it a foul and not a yellow. But the game wasn't a fun watch. I don't understand how Argentina keeps escaping the consequences of bad play, but considering some of their grandfathers, allegedly, I guess it's not surprising.
They are really good at escaping.
Do we need Nuremberg trials?
They just found a new life and a new name. Messed up decision was made.
It sucks, but I don't know.
It felt to me like a mistake was covered up by another mistake. That's how it feels to me in the end. And I get that you may feel separately, but that's kind of the feeling I get.
But you can't give Argentina even like a slight window to get back in games.
That's true.
This is why they win. Yes, it's annoying that they win all the time, but psychologically, they're psychopaths, bro. They try to draw every foul. They work the ref. They do everything. You gotta kind of be Argentina as well. You can't dive, especially when you're on a yellow, bro. Mm. It's just ridiculous. The last time this happened was with Reem. Yes, that's right. It was mentioned before.
This game wasn't fun. Yeah, of course. This, okay? Yeah.
It's not going to go away because people hate Argentina. It was a deserved yellow for a world-class flop.
Look, I mean, you're not wrong. No one's wrong here. It just feels like it doesn't feel just.
Imagine you could. People are annoyed with flopping and people want it to be penalized.
Yeah.
And you know, they talk about LeBron and they talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and everybody. Like, they want it removed from every sport. And this is FIFA trying to do that. And then it worked as it's intended. Mbolo unfortunately gets to be made an example and be like, yo, this is why you should not flop, because you could get removed from the game. Imagine if in the NBA you flop and you get ejected or something like that. Like, yeah, people would lose their mind.
But
if they could determine it and say and accuse you of it or whatever, yes, the same uproar would happen regardless. But yeah.
But again, the anti-Messi crew is that believes whatever building 7. You know, those guys are they're not going to go away now because of this kind of stuff. But I get it. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about England versus Norway and what I thought would go a completely different way. But Jude Bellingham was like, he heard me and he was like, oh, you must have forgot what I can do here.
First of all, we didn't want to start with controversies. I thought England would win this game. And we're looking at the stats now. I mean, it's a fairly even game. Norway scores first. England scores at the end of the first half. But that goal that was taken back from, let's do another poll, actually. That's that goal.
If you don't remember, Erling Haaland, the goal goes in, a defender scores after a parry and a sort of a little bit of a scrum. But in that scrum, in that first shot that gets parried, Erling Haaland uses two hands to, I want to say gently, I don't know how gently, but it felt very gently, sort of separate himself from the other player.
Football, I would say, like
a standard push off.
Yeah, it's a football move. The way NFL wide receivers, like, that's a normal.
Yeah,
the first 5
yards.
There's
a term for that, actually, when you sort of jolt someone.
Yeah, it's like,
it wasn't a full on follow through push, even though it looks like it from this photo.
it looks like
they fought each other in this photo. This is Sports Center. You picked the wrong parts of the screen to cap, but the player makes a meal of it. The defender, the England.
Anderson.
It was Anderson. Okay. Anderson falls to the ground.
So so soft. You talk about simulation, dog.
Bro, if it was any softer, I'd want to wipe with it.
he had no interest in battling for position. As soon as he felt Haaland push him, he was like, "That's it. I am going. This savage Viking has attacked me, sir."
And the sick part is it worked because they review the goal afterwards, and they decide that push was that slight push was enough to warrant a foul and thus negating that goal. And everyone in the building, even people who were rooting for England, were like, ugh.
Yeah, England got so lucky there, man. I can't make sense of that. It clearly looks like a flop. I don't even understand how the ref can go and look at that and be like, yeah, obviously there was a foul. It was such a... Yes, it's not even a push. It was just like... He's trying to get away from the guy. He's like, you know, they're close to each other. And he just puts his hands to move. There was no real amount of severe force that would cause Elliot Anderson to fall down like that.
And the part that hurt the most was this was the go-ahead goal from Norway.
Yeah.
This gave them the lead, and they took that away. And mind you, the goal that – by the way, the poll is up. So go ahead and vote on that poll. I would love to hear. And also throw in a comment and explain why you think it was or wasn't justified. But if you go back to the goal that Jude Bellingham scores, it comes off of a missed goal kick that sort of – the possession goes back to them. He runs up and scores. That goal kick hit the SkyCam line.
The cable, yeah.
And that should be enough – to warrant a retake of that goal kick. So Norway goalkeeper or...
The rule is that if anything impedes the ball's movement, it is a drop ball.
Oh, it's a drop ball. I thought it was a retake.
No,
not
a retake.
Okay, so Orjan Nyland's goal kick was touched by the cable above the stadium, which dropped the ball and led to England's goal by Jude Bellingham. VAR did not interfere, and the goal was allowed.
So I've been seeing more about this, So you know the sensor inside the ball. Okay, let's read this first real quick. Before England's goal in minute 45 plus 2 against Norway, the sensor in the connected ball showed no peak in the heartbeat of the ball when in the air, and therefore no evidence that the ball touched the overhead wire and changed the movement of the ball. So
but it looked very clearly like it changed.
Yes, and everybody looked at it. Nyland, the Haaland, they're all pointing at. They're like, hey, it touched the cable. And when you look at the ball.
What was it, Cape Verde, where the player's hair basically touched and they showed that little bump?
That was Croatia.
That was Croatia.
Yeah.
That's allowed? So, that you get a sensor?
So, I mean, you look at the trajectory of the ball. The ball looked like it just fell out of the sky all of a sudden. Maybe the wind, who knows? But apparently...
In baseball, it's called a breaking ball, and that's very hard to do. I've never seen someone do it with their foot.
So apparently, according to VAR, they said that there was no movement in the sensor, so therefore they didn't take a look at it. And
I'm going to make a suggestion here. This is my hot take. At this point, we have the internet for a reason. There should be a way where when you stream this game, you have access to everything. What VAR sees... And you have access to this little heartbeat monitor thing that says, and that's
little big brother watching these refs.
And everyone has access to it. Everyone could clip it out. Everyone could put it. Here's the exact moment. What are you talking about? You don't have it. Because at the end of the day, it's like it seems like the issue isn't the technology. It's the way it's being used and implemented. And if we're going to say, well, there's nothing, you need to show me. Show me that had no movement in the sensor, because I refuse to believe that the sensor somehow felt that bump from in the Croatia match.
But the guy's hair.
Which is ridiculous. But a wire where you could clearly see the ball change trajectory and change pace, and it felt to me like it had hit something.
Do you think it's
suddenly it doesn't?
You think it's possible that they're lying? I think that's a possibility that FIFA would lie. Like that maybe it.
Either that or maybe the sensor doesn't work up that high.
Maybe, I don't know. That's just a funny aspect of it. Like they can rocket the ball anywhere, or, you know, 60 miles an hour. But as soon as it gets up a little too high, we don't know what happened.
We got no clue.
I don't know, man. It looked like it touched. And it's weird to me that so many players would point it out and then that not be the case.
I agree.
And the ball not be able, the sensor not be able to pick it up. So kind of insane. But look, it goes The game goes to extra time. This is the in the breakaway tour that we've been doing and doing all these watch parties. This is the first game that went to extra time. So we got to be there for a longer time. Basically, the performer, Sophie Tucker, was the performer, and they ended up performing.
They had to wait a little bit.
They had to wait a little while. But this was a Norway, yes, still had their chances in the second half, but like it just seemed like the quality was just a little too much for Norway, which is what I basically thought. I was shocked that they even scored first. I could have totally seen like them not scoring at all. Initially, I predicted 3. When we were at the watch party, I'm like, oh, it might be 3-2. I mean, Norway has been scoring quite a bit, but I think to me an example of like Norway got to a place that they like remarkable they got as far as they did.
Yeah.
But the experience, not even just the quality, but the experience from these English players, they've been in these situations in Euros, in previous World Cups, they've dealt with the highs, the lows, the heartbreaks and everything. And it was just a little too much for Norway.
Yeah. And part of me believed towards the end, but I think Norway just kind of ran out of ideas. I don't want to use the word gave up because I don't think they gave up, so to speak. But they were so gassed that they were like, all right, this is over.
Yeah,
it felt like that towards the end. And it was a shame because so many people were pulling for Norway. It felt like the gas had run out of the tank. And I really thought they could get to the next step.
I was downstairs watching the Argentina game in the hotel lobby. And there's a bunch of Norwegians and English people staying at our hotel.
Yeah.
And the Norwegian guy, English guy was like, there was, commiserating and saying like, hey, good game or whatever. And then the Norwegian guy was like, yeah, Haaland, man, he just didn't show up for us today. Like, it's like kind of critical about Erling Haaland, which it seems hard to do that because he's the only reason you're even in this game to begin with.
He kind of had no stats, but you got to get the ball to get stats.
Yeah.
And that's, genius. I thought if they pulled Jude Bellingham back and put him in front of the pivots, that they would be difficult for Erling Haaland to get the ball, and that's exactly what happened. Masterful
player of the
by
game.
Thomas Tuchel.
Erling Haaland's stats right here. He played 105 minutes. I'm surprised he came out of the game at all.
Clearly, he was either injured or something happened with his leg. The announcers were talking about him hobbling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't.
Five touches in the box, it's just not enough.
I don't know.
Well, and normally, that's actually enough
that's
for him to score.
For him,
yeah.
But he needed. It's hard to say like what he could have done more. He was marked by two or three defenders at all times.
Yeah.
Like I said, these players are familiar with him in the Premier League, and they prioritize making sure that he had a bad game.
Yeah.
Let's look at
player of the game has got to be Jude Bellingham,
obviously,
right?
Jude Bellingham. I mean, Jude was incredible. Look, regardless of the controversy of that first goal, him dribbling around and cutting through defense. I mean, he looked like Lionel Messi out there.
Yeah, you still could have stopped him after the ball hit the line.
Yeah, I was. Part of me was like, man, it's really not great defending if this midfielder is cutting through you guys and getting a clear shot. On goal.
Tough to call Jude just a midfielder, though.
I know, but like,
especially again, with what he's done at Real Madrid and everything.
I forgot which defender the one that was further away from Jude. I was just like, I think he expected the shot to be taken a little sooner, and Jude took one more touch. And he was just out of position, it created just such a great like shooting lane for Jude Bellingham. But he was fantastic in this game, and it's really the goals. I mean, when Harry Kane can't do it, when other people can't step up, and this, Jude is not the techiest player, but
he knows where to be. He's at the right place at the right time. Always.
You know what I love about him? He's just a great first touch. A first touch can unlock a defense. Mm-hmm. And he knows where to position the ball and where to send that ball on those first touches. You could rocket the ball at him, and he'll know where to place it to kind of destabilize the defender or the closest defender.
That's a very Busquets-esque.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't do it with as many touches.
No.
Busquets is constantly on the ball. And
it's all shoulder feints, head feints. You don't know where he's going next.
He does it with like some technique and athleticism.
But also there's a level of grace to his game that is so, he reminds me of like, it's like a graceful leader somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, he exudes a Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
even in the body type, the way he played, he reminds me a lot of Frank Lampard.
Even the way he celebrates, everything is like, you know, that's a man.
It's just like there's a silkiness, there's a dog, he kind of
he's also good looking. You know what I mean?
That's the most important part.
You want to be Frank? Never was, you know.
Yeah, days. Come on,
man. That was about a week. Let's go stock up from this game. It's tough, but I mean, can you? How much higher can the stock for Jude Bellingham go? You know,
right? I mean, I mean, it has to be Jude. I mean,
it does.
There's really
no one else.
There's the other players. I thought they did okay. I defensively, I would even give some a little bit of stock to Jed Spence. I mean, he had a couple.
When he came in,
big
bro.
Stops.
He
drew the penalty that obviously was.
What has Tottenham been doing with
VAR
this guy?
Returned it. But we're looking at most goals scored by midfielders in at the 2018, 2022, and 2026 World Cup. 7 by Jude Bellingham. Jude Bellingham played. He didn't play in the. Yeah, it was not in the 2018. I was like, no, he didn't play that back then. This is a historic, I think, World Cup for him.
He's having a great World Cup.
He's scoring important goals for England.
And he's doing it at the hour of need. Yeah. He seems to always pop up. So
I still think he's compared to his club, I think he's way more being told like, go up. We need goals from you. Like
Ancelotti levels when he got there. Hey. Do that thing you did in training.
I love kind of seeing
real that. Quick before we get to comments and tweets. What about stock down? Do you have a stock down for anyone in particular?
I mean, I guess you could be kind of picking on Erling Haaland, but you know, it's a big game. He didn't show up. He's kind of the
also,
first
you
one.
Knew everybody on the pitch.
Yeah,
to me was a little bit. And also, he played with Jude at Dortmund. You know, it's like, come on, man. You knew everybody there, so you kind of have to go stock down. It's difficult, right? I mean, we're talking about margins here, but I'd have to give it to Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we go into a couple tweets, a couple comments?
Yeah,
let's see what you guys are saying.
What people are talking.
You know what?
About?
You help us fill some time. Hilarious.
You know what? Here's the mic. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Say something.
Say what you need to say.
Okay. Imagine we heard something. That'd be crazy.
Damn, it works.
The inventor of VAR.
Oh, Oppenheimer.
Okay. By order of the Oppenheimer.
That was Kofi. Kofi. Great on Twitter.
Kane and Bellingham at the 2026 World
this
Cup.
Was like R9 and who else?
Hilarious. I think they VAR'd Kane and Bellingham into that. I'm sorry, not VAR'd. They AI'd.
Oh, okay. Nah, man, they've been fantastic. Haaland completely unmarked. Looking at what, is that a goat or
no,
a horse?
No, Haaland completely unmarked. Then that Sorloth.
Sorloth, got it.
Bro, there was one moment where he was running down the sideline and he looked up to pass and he decided to keep running down the sideline. I'm like, that's not your game, Sorloth.
Well, Sorloth is not a winger. And
no.
It's like crazy.
You're up there for a very specific reason. Stop fronting.
They should have played with two strikers.
It's Alexander Sorloth time. Alexander Sorloth on a 2v1 with Erling Haaland open. This is what I'm talking about.
Did Sorloth score this tournament? I don't know if he did.
I think he did a lot of work outside of scoring. Harry Kane and Erling Haaland banging in goals until they face off.
Yeah, both of them. I mean, Harry Kane, I thought, had some decent opportunities, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, can't trust the guy in Skechers. All right, Jude is a complete footballer, strong at everything. He really is, man.
I agree. I wish, he's just his club. He's not really doing great. As soon as Mbappe got there, things started falling
this
apart.
This is the important comment right here. Jude's goals were as clean as his lineup. Yeah. Man,
how do you feel? Can we get a photo, maybe a close-up of Jude? I don't know how I feel about this. The his hair going up so far high up of his head. You know what I mean? Like he has sort of like a Caesar.
So you want the grow out from the line.
Yeah.
You don't want to slope up like the Micah. Micah gets this, which is why everyone thinks he paints it in.
Is this a thing in the UK? I don't know. I don't really see this here.
Let's get a close up of his trim. Let's get a close up of his trim.
I don't get it. I mean, look at me. The hair goes up right in the beginning, bro. I don't start it up here.
Yeah. I mean, man, mine too, but I got a little different. Bellingham or Belling pork roll? Damn.
Okay. This is the great question. Important. I think we need another poll for this.
This is South London versus North London.
We need a roll poll.
Damn. Okay. The cable of God. Hilarious. To the hand of
and
God.
Now this is in England's favor. El cable de Dios.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is perfect, Michael Raymond. Michael Raymond is crushing today.
FIFA, believe me, not your lying eyes.
I mean, you're not wrong.
That's how we're dealing with, bro. It's crazy. All right.
FIFA and Fox got their dream final, and Christian's like, do you think they are lying?
You know, I'm asking the tough question.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He wanted a clip of me saying, yes, FIFA's lying.
Okay. Where's my Pulitzer?
Hey, not until this tour's over, the check clears. Huh?
Okay. We'll answer all those questions later. What's the check clear?
It definitely seems like we know the rules more than the actual refs. I mean, we also have the luxury of looking the stuff up and talking about it an hour later. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it just feels like if you're the ref, you get to make that call. Why?
Don't ruin
why
this
be a
game.
Killjoy,
yeah,
dog?
Bro. My goodness. All right. Okay, we got any more? We got a couple more. Okay, I think. Let's see. I want VAR for instances like this. VAR could have identified the cable strike and made things right. We saw it, hit it.
Yeah. This is what I mean. It's not the technology. It's the way it's being implemented. And they keep making these rules to, like, not upset the refs or whatever. If we got it, we got it. Let's use it.
Yeah, I mean, look,
stupid.
We've had refs on the show, and they don't necessarily speak that highly of VAR. It's like it kind of makes things a little bit more challenging. It removes that authority from that center.
But also, it helps everyone second guess.
Yes,
so
yes. Good to know Alexis's preference for TP.
It's got to be soft. Okay.
I mean, it's crucial. That
you say if it was any softer, I'd wipe it.
You get that information on the Patreon.
Okay, right? We're looking at the trim now. A side shot would have maybe helped a little bit, but you can see where that lineup is. That's not exactly where the hair starts.
That's not where the grow out.
There's like a little. There's like a two finger spot. That's flat.
It's like a number.
You know what
three.
It is? It's so when you're looking at it from a side profile, it's flat, and that's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Because if your hair was like your hair or my hair, you could maybe just push it up and it would be flat. Mm-hmm. But because his hair doesn't do that, you have to sort of create a wall.
Right.
And what you're seeing is a flattened area in front.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate it. But
it
does seem odd
from a side shot.
I don't even know how to tell the barber to give me this hairstyle. I have to show a picture of you.
I think you gotta grab the clipper and do it for yourself. The reason I don't like it on Micah is because the hair goes back. There's a back flat area. Mm-hmm. But for him, it's just the little wall you're seeing.
Right. So yeah. Well, best of luck. I mean, it's clearly helping Jude Bellingham. You know,
we should all get this haircut.
We should all get the Jude.
Yeah.
At some point. But yeah, it is a stylistic choice, and best of luck to him as long as it works out for him.
Didn't Cherokee's barber chime in once and say, yes, hey, man, I tried.
I did.
Maybe
this.
We need, you know, whoever his chair is.
Because Ryan Cherokee has like a strange.
He has a fluffy area.
Like it doesn't fade. He doesn't fade it out like by the temple. He leaves that little part of the hair like
natural.
Like,
and it doesn't match the rest of the head.
Literally, it doesn't work at all. And then
he likes it.
So, but somebody posted.
We're seeing it now. Okay,
clearly.
See, just above the forehead line. See how it's like flat there? There's not those little curls there.
Yeah, there must be. I mean, there must be a reason. Maybe he doesn't like the way
it
his
makes
hair
him look
grows
more
there.
Aerodynamic, though, doesn't it?
Maybe
it looks
for
like
headers,
he's running.
You know, you get on there easier.
I think it's that he wants. It gives a little high top.
It
first
does.
Right off the rip. You see high top.
Without a doubt, this is not a New York haircut. You know, he's not from New York.
You would not get this at a New York barbershop.
No.
Some Dominican can be like, "Oh yeah, Bobby, I can't do that. I cannot do this to you." Okay.
I'm licensed in New York. I can't lose my license.
Okay, you know, it's Friday. It's the Papi Chulo cut. You getting the Papi Chulo cut. I cannot do this.
I only know one cut. Yeah, okay?
It's Friday. Maybe on a Tuesday I do this, but not on a Friday.
We can experiment on a Tuesday or
Tuesday
Wednesday.
Tuesday we go crazy. We cannot do that today.
Thank
you for pulling that up, production. You guys are working overtime.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like we were saying, but Cherokee has that little bit of hair there. And it's funny because a barber commented on it. And he's like, yo, doesn't he cut this? And
no, he said, why doesn't your barber do it? And the barber was like, hey, yo, I'm right here.
Yo, I've told him he needs to cut it and he won't let me.
Yeah. So we need Jude's barber to jump in.
So,
all right, why don't we preview Spain's next match?
Yeah, so they'll be playing against France. And that should be fun.
Damn.
Look, this is I think we were talking about this before. Spain hasn't lost to France, and I think in the last like five games.
Yeah, for something crazy like that. We pulled that set up last time. In fact, we have the expected 11 here.
So, yeah, so this looks like it's going to be an opportunity. If Spain can get the win,
it's weird to be able to call it like an upset, mm-hmm. but it, you know, the way France has been playing this tournament, it would be quite the shock if Spain could take them out. But obviously, if anybody could take France out, it is Spain.
Yeah, and look, I've sat here and I've tried to, you know, pick some of the upsets that were coming, and I was wrong about a few, and I felt like I was right about a few of the Norway ones. This one, you got to go right down the money line, baby. This feels like a France victory. Who knows if it'll be easy? I don't think so. I think Spain could give them a game. I'm seeing some things I don't love, though. You know, Nico Williams not really being as effective as he was in the past. That it was magic with him and Lamine Yamal kind of going at it in the Euros. And I was expecting to maybe see some more of that, and I haven't. But again, any team with Mikel Merino is never really out.
That's it, bro. And I remember, it wasn't Spain's last five games against France. It's Lamine. His last five games against Mbappe.
Yeah.
That he's.
But I think Spain has beaten France in the last three games.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick a key player, I mean, you know, can we go Merino on this? But it feels silly. But you can either say Mbappe, or for me, it's going to be Olise. Can Olise be as effective as he has been? If he is, I just don't think there's anyone that's going to stop France.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them, you know, stopping a couple of these guys.
Look at this.
This is going to be a game where France's midfield is really going to be tested, because Spain has a fantastic midfield.
And their ability to hit on the counter and to, you know, create, as soon as they get possession, they're able to hit, spring an attack, which is, you know, you can't get pulled out of position if you're in the midfield for France.
These teams play fairly similarly, but I would say that the difference is going to be what happens on the wing, especially mm-hmm. for both of these teams. Because, you know, obviously Lamine can do what he does. Ousmane Dembele can do what he does when he gets the ball out there. So I think it's going to take like either a spectacular goal to mm-hmm. like be the difference, or like a set piece, crazy scrum of a goal or something like that.
Do you have a different key player, or you agree with Olise?
As far as for France or just in general? Because for me, yeah, no, it's going to have to be, Lamine Yamal is going to be, I think, the difference. I mean, he has to have a better game than he had in the last one. Mm-hmm. And I think he's craving that a little bit. And
what a time to have it.
Yeah. And you know, look, and he knows that this is a big game, and I know he wants to win it, and not probably wants to be the reason he helps the team win. So, yeah, Lamine Yamal is going to be my guy. And I think he's due for a big game. I do see, you know, Spain has only conceded one goal this tournament in their last one. But I think this might be a game where there'll be a few goals.
Yeah, there's going to be goals shared between them, for sure.
Yeah, so it's going to be entertaining, to say the least. So, yeah, looking forward to it. What's the – we know the other semifinal.
Before we get to that, what are your predictions for this game?
For this.
I want to say France 2-1.
I'm gonna, you know what? Just for the sake for the vibes, I'm gonna say Spain 2-1. I think it's not crazy. It's not crazy.
It's not. It feels crazy based on everything you just said, but it's not crazy at all.
Well, we shall see. Let's go. Maybe Spain could do something
all right,
this
England,
one.
England, right. Argentina,
the other semifinal,
the Battle of the Falklands,
Inglaterra y Argentina. This is
it's like two of your ops fighting each other.
This is one where if England could get out of their own minds and get out of their own heads, they should have the quality to beat in Argentina.
Can I tell you how I see this going, though? Wow. Argentina is going to be Argentina, and the England players, you know, watching Argentina work the refs and muddy it up and play a little dirty, they're going to be like, this isn't the way you play. You know, it's like England's like, stop, guys. You know, and I feel like that may be what turns the tide for Argentina in this.
OK, yeah, that's going to be a tactic, as it always is. And
by the way, you think the calls now on the internet are that Argentina is getting their own way when the English fans don't win a game,
bro? They have
they have complete control of the
internet. They have access to Twitter accounts with lots of followers, bro. And it's gonna be
the calls for investigations. They may mention it in the Nigel Farage versus Count Binface politics fight that's happening. Shouts to Sam Tai for sending me all that information so I can follow up with it, follow along with it. But I just think this is gonna get it's gonna get a little muddy. It's gonna get a little dirty, and I feel like
as it should.
And I also feel like this game isn't gonna happen in 90 minutes. After the game, there's gonna be so much arguing back and forth and yada yada yada. Mm-hmm. For me, the key player for the game for me, for England, if they do stand a chance, it's going to be because Jed Spence comes in and does something exceptional.
Really?
I've seen it now in two separate matches where there's a level of dynamism he has. He doesn't look out of place defending. He doesn't look out of place in the midfield. And he doesn't look out of place
in an Arsenal top.
Hey, I got to call it. First of all, it's not technically an Arsenal top. it just looks like it, which is why I bought it. But there's something special about this kid, even when he gets into the final third. He has a good shot on him as well. He seems like, you know, he's comfortable across the board. I don't know, man. I don't know if he starts, but when he comes in, he can be a game changer. I don't think it'll be enough.
I don't think he's going to be even involved in this game at all.
That's crazy.
Look, the easy ones are like Lautaro Martinez, Lionel Messi, but I think Enzo Fernandez needs to.
About Julian, bro?
Julian Alvarez is probably, I don't know if he will start. He's been kind of up and down, so I'm not going to really put that much expectations on him, but I think controlling the midfield is going to be super important for Argentina. They didn't look, again, it's like, even against Argentina, they just not look, not against Switzerland, they just like not looking like you just expect Argentina to like possess the game, dominate the game, and they're not really doing that. So this is going to be, Enzo Fernandez plays in the Premier League, knows all these players, should kind of show up and he'll have those chippy moments, you know, push people, do everything he needs to do. But Enzo, to me, is going to be crucial to the success.
Not a name that gets called, that has gotten called enough in this tournament. Sure. And Enzo Fernandez. So I see it. I could see it. What about as for predictions? I don't think, even if Jed Spence gets in, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Argentina win this. I don't think it's going to be easy. This feels like a 1-0, maybe a 1-1, and then it goes to penalties.
I mean, the way this Argentina's knockout rounds have gone, this is going to be another hectic game and just kind of crazy. And again, if England can psychologically manage this game and know that you are going to get burned at some point by the ref, like, and you're going to get upset with
something. Prepare for it,
because Egypt were up 2-0 and they couldn't handle. They got burned by the ref. It seemed like justice was served with that second goal, and they could not close out in the game. You can't argue with the ref about, they fouled me, you didn't call this, you didn't go. Score your goals, defend well, and move on. That's the only way to
score enough that they can't come back from it.
Joe, yeah. All this,
which turns out is not two. It's more than
all
that.
All this arguing about with the ref. Like, what do you want to do, bro? Like, you see the comments that everybody thinks it's in the bag for Argentina and that they want them in the final. So do what you got to do to keep the ref out of the game. It's easier said than done, but that's the only way I can see them getting a victory here.
Best of luck with that.
best of luck, because you're facing 12 guys on the pitch that day, so it's gonna be challenging. So, all right. This was the.
Should Norway's second goal have been given? Yes.
Yes, you see?
Okay. We're all on the same page here with this one.
See, bro?
This really rough.
Really, really soft foul. So, shout out to everybody in the comment section for voting on that.
What are you going to do?
That was like, you know, the Mbolo one is like annoying and frustrating.
And Bolo, that one takes the wind out of your sails.
Was, you talk about the ref's discretion and making that choice. And he made the choice to say he felt that was enough of a foul to negate that goal. And I just do not agree with that at all.
Yeah, we're starting a conspiracy. Jude plays in La Liga, but his hairline plays in Superliga for Fenerbahce. Major money. I don't think it's. We met him. Remember?
We met Jude in Dortmund.
I looked at his head. Germany. I literally, because I was impressed by the fade.
Yeah.
Hey, we were interviewing. That's really real.
We were waiting for Gio Reyna
And Jude walked by us and was like,
and
hey,
said hello
up?
To us.
And said hello to us. It was a super nice guy.
He was very lovely. He's like, you all right? You guys having a good time?
Yeah, yeah. Is it possible for England, Argentina to simultaneously eliminate each other so we can just crown one of the good countries champion?
Yeah, I mean Haiti might disagree. France being one of the good
Spain
countries.
Spain and France?
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to label them good countries, but yeah. I understand.
Three of these guys had boats they shouldn't have had, and the other one tells you they're from the boats. So
if Spain wins versus France, we see De La Fuente take off the mask like a Scooby-Doo villain, and it's Luis Enrique.
I would believe it.
Let's go. All right.
Lamine can't do it when he's the entire focus of the attack. It's too easy to double or triple team him, and he's getting exactly that. He is consistently surrounded by defenders.
I mean, Nico Williams got hurt, but missed some time or whatever. But I'm fine with him on the left. Who's on the left right now for Spain? I don't remember who it is. But
Baena.
Baena's in the midfield, no?
Isn't he on the left?
I don't think he's like out wide.
I'm pretty sure.
Nico, in the last game, he came in.
He came in the second half. He was subbed in the second
half. Yeah, so maybe, you know, Spain.
England, Argentina, 1-1 with 22 yellows. All mistaken identities, though.
Okay.
All of them.
France 2-0.
I could see it.
Over Spain.
I could see it.
Impossible. Come on. Spain's going to score. Come on. It's Spain.
I don't know.
All right. Well, so anyway. Okay, here we go. England are going to need more cables.
Yeah, is there any way we can do this with the setup of, you know, what is it? Cirque du Soleil above us.
just a bunch of wires looking like, a town that just installed telephones.
Lo cable de Dios. The Villains World Cup. Yeah, ain't dude. It always?
They're all.
Ain't it always?
Okay. All right. So, all right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging
out. So we have the final being what? Argentina versus France again?
I said Spain. So I think Argentina, Spain.
Oh, okay. I think it's going to go back to France.
We shall see. I was asking. I was watching the game downstairs, like I said, and there was a couple English guys that were pretty drunk. But when Switzerland scored, I was like, and they all celebrated. I'm like, oh, I know who you want to face. And one of the English guys was like, what he said? He said like, "Oh, I don't care who we face." And the other guy was like, "No, I don't play Argentina. I want play Argentina." So, we shall see if you got your wish. I don't know if it, be careful what you wish for.
That's for real.
But no, I mean two fun semifinals that obviously just four really fun teams to watch and really the quality is clearly there. And another round of applause for Norway. I think the fact that they got as far as they did. And
the first World Cup in a very long time, and look at them.
Hard done by the ref and all this stuff, but unfortunately, this is the nature of this game and this tournament.
As is the game.
Yeah, but no, really, really fun so far. All right, let's wrap up, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us live here. It is what? I think it's past midnight, right?
It is very much past midnight.
It is nearly 1 a.m. Mm. here in Miami. The Cooligans here on the ground.
We're on our way to 11. It's open 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we're going to Dallas next in a couple days for one of the semifinals. Then we're off to Atlanta. After that, and then after that, we're back home in New York for the final.
Yeah, thank you for everyone who's been watching along with us. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, send us a hype, put in a comment. Tell your mother's best friend about us. Do all of that.
She's been asking about us.
It's about damn time they know you listen.
Okay. And shout out to a bunch of people. We've on this tour in all these different cities. A lot of people have been saying hello, stopping us on the street and all this stuff. So we always appreciate the love from Cooligans fans. So thank you to everybody tuning in and supporting the show. All right. The World Cup keeps going. I got to rest my voice. I've been screaming all day during concerts. And
yelling over Sophie Tucker.
Okay. That's just part of the biz, everybody.
Who knew you could become a performer with only one dance? Huh?
It was a good show. Yeah.
Did you think so?
I'm not a big like DJ guy, like watching live DJs, but it was fun. Yeah. The music was bumping. All right.
Just say that even if you're rich, start telling your kids no, please.
Okay. All right, everybody. We will see you on Monday, I believe. I think Monday, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. We'll be back. So make sure
you some big
Tuesday. Tuesday, we'll be back after the semifinal.
Yes.
So join us after that game. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Y'all, the absolute best. Take care, and we'll see you Tuesday. Peace.
Love you guys.